What man, verse 4, among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I tell you, Jesus steps out of the story and says, "I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." What a Savior. What a Shepherd.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue in our short series called Lost and Found from Luke chapter 15. Pastor Scott brings a message titled Lost and Found, the Lost Coin. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Come and behold him. That's why we're here. We gather to worship him, and we gather to see him and behold him and to know him. The more you've known him, the longer you've known him, the more you want to know him, because to know him is life eternal. And the people who know their God will display strength and take action. I'd like you to turn to Luke 15. Luke 15. What is God like is a great chapter to see what God is like. I had lunch this week with a retired pastor from another state, and he was aware, he watches us online sometimes, but he was aware that I'd finished Hebrews. He said, "Where are you going next? What are you preaching this week?" he said. And I said, "Luke 15. And he said, Luke 15. He said, "The Bible in microcosm, you know." He said, "If I had one chapter," and he just went on about Luke 15, and I said, "I'm going to quote you." But I want us to take another look at this great chapter. I've called this Lost and Found, but I don't mean to be trite when I say that, Lost and Found. I'm not thinking of some bin, some closer in or something, no. Lost and saved. And I'm not saying something that I know people will criticize, even that, lost and saved. This is a kind of old-fashioned lingo. We don't use that lingo anymore. Well, we ought to. The Bible does. Jesus did. Lost and found. You'll find it right here repeatedly in this chapter. And the finding is the saving. He came to seek and to save the lost, the disoriented, the lost in every way. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to listen to him. By the way, whoever you are, whatever you've done or haven't done, you can come right now and listen. You can draw near to Jesus Christ and listen to his word. And that's what they were doing. And both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Wow. Two responses to Jesus. Coming and hearing, listening to what he has to say, and criticizing and grumbling and saying, "He's receiving sin, he's eating with them." And we celebrate today the very thing he was criticized for. Yes, he does receive sinners. Praise his name. Yes, he does eat, commune with people like you and me, lost ones, whom he came to save. And to illustrate that, Jesus spends the balance of this chapter explaining, "Yes, I do receive sinners, and I do have communion with them." And he gives a parable, verse 3. He told them this parable, and he calls it singular. I think we would say parables, because it's a three-part. He tells three stories: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost sons. And he's driving home this one great truth that he came to seek and to save the lost. The lost sheep, and he is the shepherd who pursues that lost sheep. The lost coin, and the Holy Spirit pursues, and is pictured by this woman that we're going to look at in just a moment, who searches out and looks for and finds lost ones. And then the lost sons, that final story, where the father is waiting and watching and welcoming with joy, running toward the repentant sinner. In each case, there is great joy and rejoicing over repentance. Now, he's not merely saying the same thing three times. He's driving home the great truth, but he's coming at it from different angles. Sheep, and this particular sheep, was lost in the wilderness, wandering away. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And praise God, he's one who seeks and saves, and we enjoyed that great truth that Christ is a shepherd. He's a Savior who went after us and came after us and found us and carries us back. The next one, lost coin, we're going to see, is lost at home. Right at home. And then the final, we'll see, lost in rebellion. Give me my inheritance, I'm out of here. Lost in rebellion. There's 100 ways to be lost. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one Savior. So he comes at this three different ways. And I want to just remind us by reading it. What man, verse 4, among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I tell you, Jesus steps out of the story and says, "I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance in their own mind, in their own delusion." Okay? What a Savior. What a shepherd. He came and sought us out. He came from heaven to this world of darkness and sin. And he didn't come just risking his life. Maybe he'll be crucified. No, he came to die. He came to give his life a ransom for many. And notice verse 5. When he has found that sheep, he lays it on his shoulders. That's the kind of God we have. Listen to Isaiah speaking hundreds of years earlier. Listen to me, Isaiah 46. O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, you who've been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb, even to your old age I shall be the same, and even to your graying years I shall bear you. I have done it, and I shall carry you, and I shall bear you, and I shall deliver you. He puts that sheep on his shoulders and carries him home to safety. And he says, "That's how I am. I don't change." He's going to see us safely through to his eternal kingdom. And when he gets there, when he saves us, he calls his friends and they rejoice. There's great joy in heaven when one lost one repents and is saved. And the Lord rejoices. Listen to Isaiah again, chapter 62. For as a young man marries a virgin, as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. Or in Zephaniah 3, the Lord your God is in your midst. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. What a Savior we have. He carries us home and he comes rejoicing. That's how he is. Now, if that is lost by wandering, and we all can relate to that, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. If that is lost in the wilderness, this next story, verse 8 through 10, the lost coin is lost, not wandering off, lost at home. Lost at home. It's possible to be lost in church. It's possible to be lost in a good home. In fact, I must say, it's not just possible. Tragically, it's common. Let's read it. What woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I've found the coin which I had lost." In the same way, I tell you, he steps out of the story again and applies it. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, this story, not too many of us are shepherds, and we need a little bit of background sometimes with, taking care of sheep. But this story might need a little more explanation because coins anymore, they're kind of just clutter. They're so worthless, you put them on the tray on your dresser, and at best, what are you talking, 25, 50 cents? Maybe we'd say lost cell phone. Where's my phone? Phone it, will you, honey? But what they had here, this picture of 10 silver coins, they were very significant. It's kind of like a wedding ring. They'd wear it on their forehead, and to lose one would not be good at all. It's like if you lost your wedding ring. So it's important. It's not like we would think of it, perhaps. And he tells this story, and they got it. And this woman is a picture. The early church fathers saw the triune God in this. You have the Son, the Shepherd. You have the woman, the Holy Spirit. And you have the Father. The three persons of the triune God are all involved. God is a God of salvation. Now, let me say it carefully. We should refer to God in the masculine. He does incessantly. Okay? But he's not at all, not exclusively. Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you like what? A mother hen gathers her chicks." Or Isaiah 49, "Can a woman forget her nursing child?" Yeah, even they will sometimes. "But I won't forget you, Israel. I've got you inscribed on the palms of my hands." So when I say this, I'm not wanting to make, severe distinctions between God the Son and God the Spirit and God the Father. But what you have here represented by this woman represents God the Spirit and his seeking and searching for the lost. So let me read it again. This woman who's lost this coin lights a lamp, verse 8, sweeps the house, and searches carefully until she finds it. Now, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. So Christ is speaking, and he's saying, I'm like that shepherd, I'm like that woman, I'm like the father waiting for his son. There's no, as I said, there's no, what's the word I want, between the persons of the triune God. But the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him, Romans 8, verse 9 says. When Peter wrote about the prophets of old, looking ahead to the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow, they used to search their own writings, we read in verse 11 of 1 Peter. They used to carefully search their own writings, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. So what you have here is a picture of God's work in our lives subjectively to draw us to himself. Now, notice the first thing the Spirit of Christ does. She lights a lamp. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, the psalmist says. Psalm 119, 105. God uses, the Holy Spirit uses his word to bring light to the situation. Look back on your own coming to Christ if you know Christ. God used his word. In many cases, a black book, you know, a book with black covers and was open. In my case, there was that kind of literalness. But always his word is used, whether it's quoted or proclaimed or preached or shared over coffee, whatever. The Holy Spirit uses his word to draw us to himself. She lights a lamp. You know, when something's lost, their houses, this picture of a house, they didn't have a bunch of windows. It was dark. And so you'd light a lamp. We were over years ago when our kids were little. We were over with another family over at the beach at Cannon Beach. And we were out there pretty late, and the sun went down, and it got darker and darker. And finally, I gave the whistle for the kids, you know, to come in because I didn't want them out there in the dark. And we were all standing on the beach, and the kids had been running all over the beach and out there. And they come back, and our son Jess said, I lost my glove, Dad. And it was, he wanted it back, you know. And so I said, okay, what color is it? And I'm hoping for orange. He says, tan. Okay. He misstated it. It was Ocean Beach tan. If you were looking at a paint chip, you know. So we said, oh, boy. And we spread out. And then we said, we got to get a light. We got to get a light. She lights a lamp. To look. By the way, if you have opportunity to seek and to save the lost, and by the way, if you know Christ, take those opportunities. You won't meet a person this week who isn't confused and a little bit distraught about the news. And we know the one who's in charge. There's going to be opportunities this week to be involved in what God is involved in, seeking and saving the lost. Now, you and I can't save them, obviously. Christ is the Savior. But he came to seek and to save the lost. And he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Pray for boldness. Pray for alertness to the opportunities that you will have this week, that I will have this week. But in your seeking and saving the lost, in your evangelism, if you will, in your alertness to the opportunities, use the Word of God. Turn the light on. Light a lamp. And then notice, she sweeps the house. I mean, think about it. That might have stirred up some dust. In fact, I bet it did. It probably a dirt floor. And I would imagine maybe some rearranging. You're going to sweep this place looking for this coin you might have to rearrange some things. You know, God rearranges things in our lives to get us to the point where we see what we really need. What really counts in life? He'll rearrange things and he'll rearrange your finances. Many of us, when we think about how we came to Christ, we would look back to even crises in our life that brought us to our senses to bow before the Lord, to repent, to turn to Him. So I can imagine her moving stuff around, and you know how it is. You're looking for this valuable coin. She's going to do some, you know, God even rearranges whole nations and kingdoms. What's really significant today, and we'll see it a little more clearly 100 years from today, is not who wins the next election or who does it. God is rearranging things today to bring people to Himself. He's calling out a people for His name. That's why I say pray for one another, for boldness. Pray for the church in Ukraine to have boldness. Pray for the church in Russia to have boldness. Pray for the church in Portland to have boldness. Pray for me. I pray for you that we would be alert to the many opportunities that we have because He came to seek and to save the Lord. He might rearrange your health. He might rearrange, you name it. And one day we will praise His holy name for whatever He did to draw us to Himself. And then notice the third thing there. She lights a lamp, she sweeps the house and searches carefully until she finds it. Christ came to seek and save the lost. Let me put it in theological terms for a moment. Theologians sometimes speak about the objective work of Christ and the subjective work of Christ. And that's a helpful distinction. Christ accomplishes our salvation. God is the God of salvation. Salvation, David learned. David knew, and he quoted it before he went out to battle. Salvation is of God. Okay? And so when Christ died on the cross, what did He say? It is finished. The work has been accomplished. The objective work of salvation. But my own salvation, He pursued me. He convicted me of my sin. He convicted me of His righteousness and the judgment to come.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, Lost and Found, the Lost Coin, a message from the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. If you don't have a church home in the area, we'd like to invite you to join us for our outdoor summer services. Coming this August 7th, you can join us for our annual Southwest Bible Car Show. Come and browse around the field covered with hundreds of sport, vintage, and collector cars. The event begins at 4:30 p.m., followed by our outdoor evening service at 6. For more information or to register a car, go over to our website at swbible.org, or you can call the church at 503-524-7000. We hope to see you there. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to romansproject.org or connect with us at facebook.com/romansproject. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Have you turned to Him? People tell me about their parents' belief. Maybe you're in a good home. Maybe you're in a good church. Maybe you're in a good Christian school. You've learned a lot, but you've never really turned. You can be lost at home. And I said, it's possible to be lost at home. It's not just possible. It's tragically common. Some of the hardest people I know. I've heard that. Are you hearing and not hearing? Parents, don't assume your kids know the Lord. Why would you assume that? We assume the gospel. That's not the way the Bible's written. Now, the Bible is a sharp two-edged sword to get to the issue. And don't assume your kids know the Lord. Teach your kids diligently.
Join us again next time as we continue in Luke 15. Pastor Scott brings part 6 in our series with a message titled, Lost and Found, the Lost Coin. Till then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.